Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, folks, I'm back out on the road again this week. I'm in a very interesting place. Not the usual out and about for you this week. I'm up on a very, very tall building here down on City Quay in the HQ of Grant Thornton. And I'm going to look at a very interesting business because it's all about bees. So there's a bit of a buzz in the air. And my guest today is Emma Finn. She's the founder of Bees on the Roof, and she joins me now. Emma, I want you to describe where we are here now, the view, the sounds, and everything else for our listeners, if you would. And then we'll talk about bees.
Thanks, Bobby. So what we can hear a lot here is the seagulls are with us because they are endangered and they're protected. And once they lay their eggs, that's it. You just have to mine them and leave them. We have the most fabulous view here. We're right in the centre of town. We're looking up along the Liffey out towards the sea. And when the sun shines here, which is not today, but it is so fabulous. You come up here and everybody that walks out here, they just stop to admire the view. It's so pretty.
And I can endorse that. We're looking right down the Liffey here, out across Dublin Port into Dublin Bay. We've got views, 360 degree views right around the city. And the seagulls on the roof. Now, we're here to talk about bees, but are the seagulls something that you have to deal with as part of your endeavours?
Yes, they are. Now, this roof, they only came in last year, I think it was, whereas some of the others, they had been there for a very long time. So you do see things like skeletons and tons of bones and the whole roof. It looks like a horror show. Not this one, of course. But once they're here, they're right now, the babies are learning to fly, and apparently one fell down and went out, but it'll be back up. So they're in their practice stage. So a couple of weeks, this will all be gone. Okay. But every year it just gets a bit more.
Okay, we've fought off the seagulls, so we're on our way to see the hives now. Firstly, before we talk about the bees and the hives, Emma, tell me about the business.
I had been a beekeeper for 10 years, and I was interested in trying to see, could I turn it into a job? So I went off and I did a course, entrepreneurship and business. And I figured out that the idea that I had, which was very lovely, this beehive air, which was lovely, but so very niche that you would not have made a living on it. So I changed the idea and then decided that this was the way to go.
Okay, so, and this being the way to go is you partner up with a corporate. In this case, we're here with Grant Thornton. So what do you give them and what do they give you?
So they give me support and I get to play with the bees for a year, really. Okay. And at the end of it, I give them honey and I just was showing you a frame. But really, my main thing here is about engagement and education of the staff, because I'm fulfilling the ESG requirements and the, letting staff connect with nature. So this is the thing. They have a group here in Grant Thornton that is involved with the Greener Scene, I think they've called it, or Greener Together. And they have like some really enthusiastic staff who will go out, do projects at nature, and then try and find out what can they do for the bees at home. So this is it. One of the girls here now, she would tell me about what she's done with her children at home and what they've done in their garden that improves it. So this is it. It's about, what can this connected community do? Because these are all big corporates with lots of staff, and I mean there might not be lots of people in the building, but sometimes when I go in and do talks, they're all tuning in from home as well. And even sometimes they were in the building and I talked about how much honey we were going to taste and all the different fabulous things they could try, so they all actually came to the room. So I think that thing about getting staff engagement and getting people, you know, and it's so good for them to reconnect to nature.
The other thing is that on this roof that we're on now, you've got all the flora and fauna. So there's a whole, I suppose, planting up here so that it allows the bees to feed, I assume.
It does. Now, this one, not particularly well. It does all the thing of where you've got a green roof. It's reducing the temperature in the city. It's very good for that. But actually, in this place, what they've done is they have balconies and they have some planters around that they have put in herbs. So a lot of the herbs, that this is something anybody can do at home, they are really good food for the bees. Especially, I have them at home, like the chives, you can have onions, rosemary, all those things, they really feed the bees and they go across the season, which is very important.
It strikes me as we stand here looking out across this majestic view of the city that there's so much untapped space on these roofs. Like, for people even to come up here and have a look, for to sit down and have your break, to have a garden up on the roof, it really is an undiscovered treasure, is it not?
I think that half of Dublin could be turned into these roof parks. I've seen them in other countries. And to change this whole space from this grey and concrete, that you could have this as a whole living city, and this is going to be my next project, how do we make Dublin green? Bringing all this biodiversity into the city. This is going to tie into the law next year, the Nature Restoration Law, where I am specifically interested in the urban setting here in Dublin 1 and 2. Like, what can we do to make this a greener, more environmentally friendly city, you know?
Tell me about the sort of day-to-day bee management then. So we're going to go over now and look at a couple of hives that are just behind us. But what's involved? What do you have to do to keep the bees healthy, keep them happy, and just keep them well?
Yeah, so what I have is the native Irish honeybee, Apis mellifera mellifera. So we're having a problem with imports, but what I'm trying to do is make sure our bees stay dark and stay native. So I go into the hives, and actually my main thing is not to stress the bees. You want to keep your bees as strong and as healthy as possible, and you do that by not stressing them, that you're not opening them for reasons you don't need to. You have jobs that you have to do through the year. You have to give them more space. You have to check for disease, you take samples, you send off comb. But you know, if they need feeding, they need feeding. Sometimes there was a June gap last month that went very long. Now, it wasn't so bad here, but just in different hives, in different areas, I could see, because I'm urban, suburban and rural, all, I can see the difference. In a couple of weeks, I can really see where the bees, where the flowers are and where they aren't, you know.
So you bought, you brought in additional food then to
sometimes
supplement the bees?
Sometimes I do. If and then also the source of that, it has to be from honey that has, you know, from bees that have been tested from hives. So if that's needed, I mean, it's very unusual, but just sometimes you really have to tune in. You're like a farmer as well, because you're tuned into the weather. And if the bees can't get out, normally you want them that they're strong enough that they survive. They're frugal. They don't like make loads of babies. They don't eat loads of food. They're Irish and they know that summer might not come. But now we're out of sync. So that changes things. So every year it's changing slightly.
I've just spotted something else up here on the rooftop. Corporate espionage. They can keep an eye on each other because we're here on the roof of Grand Thornton and I can see the offices of KPMG right across the river. So no doubt they have telescopes out at each other.
Yeah.
We're on the other side of the building now. Emma is still with me. We're standing beside the two hives that are here. Emma, can you maybe explain to our listeners what we have here, if you would?
So what we have is two national hives with brood boxes and supers on top. This area here, it's quite windy when the wind comes up, the liffy. So we've put in a wind blind that will break the wind.
How many bees are here, approximately?
I would say in this one here we'd have about 40,000, and this one here we've about 25,000.
Stop! Well, so there's 70,000 odd bees here.
At least.
My God.
And we're just about to go to the highest population now in the next few weeks, because there's a lot of brood in here, babies that are about to emerge. So the population is just about to jump up, and they'll go up to their highest and then start going down in August, September.
Okay, the businessman in me is asking, how many jars of honey is that at the end of the year?
Well, I'm going to tell you, it varies. And if the bees need the food, the bees get the food. And they're very insistent on that here, that this is not about honey production. It's about education and support. So, yes, but we do usually get some honey. And you know what? It's this unfiltered raw honey that they get to taste. And you're never going to get the same honey as you get this year.
Right.
Because last year, they wouldn't have been feeding on the same stuff at the same time. So every jar is unique each year, each crop. You know?
So you know the way when you have hives in a particular area, if there's lavender or something like that, you'll taste it through the honey.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the inner city here where we are, what sort of flavors do you get off the honey?
Yeah, we get a lot of lime at the moment, and you know, the funny thing is that like four different colonies that are not that far apart, you're going to see these really different shades of honey. They come in all shades, and also then that gives you all the different flavors, and it really comes through. So the bees would forage now a lot here. They're going down to the port where they've just put in that new greenway, and they would go along the railway tracks and also the canals. These are the kind of wild and abandoned areas. They're the best ones for them.
Okay.
But I mean, trees in all their benefits, feed the bees as well, you know.
This is what this is telling you, it's your native Irish bee. Inside you can see they're making the wax, new wax. It's white, it's not capped yet, and that's where they're going to fill in with honey. So I can open this.
Whoa, look at this.
Right.
Look at all these bees. Wow. Now, I didn't tell our listeners that I'm suited and booted in bee gear here. You can't see me, but I'm going to put up something on the News Talk website so you can have a look at it there. But yes, I'm here with Emma. We're booted and suited, head to toe in bee gear. We're with about 70,000 bees here on the rooftop in Grand Thornton, and it's been a wonderful morning. Emma Finn, thank you so much for your time, for showing me the bees, and good luck in the wonderful work that you do.
Thanks very much, Bobby.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.